Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Strange Familiars. Riddle me this, Allison.
Yes.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, but I wanted to say hello to everyone who wasn't feeling very well and just tell them that it's temporary and that if you're listening to this and you're feeling sick, you'll be better soon.
You talking about a Omicron thing? Are you talking about mental or both?
Maybe both.
Yeah.
Omicron, like Delta and Omicron, they sound like parts of like a sorority or fraternity you don't want to be involved in.
Yeah, no one wants to join
I
that.
I don't want to rush Delta Omicron.
Yeah, no one wants to join that one.
I think that's one where they just choose. It chooses you. It's like Skull and Bones.
So tonight we're going to be talking with CJ, who's got Bigfoot encounters and spirit contact. And a little bit later, we're going to be talking with Jesse, who has another one of these disembodied legs encounters.
I didn't know that this was going to be an ongoing...
I'm happy to get the disembodied legs accounts, but I'm kind of sad that they've overtaken Bunny Man. Mm-hmm. We need more Bunny Man accounts.
And then I think somewhere in a parallel universe, someone has like the disembodied tops to all these disembodied legs.
It's happened. I mean, there's been accounts of it, you know, where people...
Maybe you don't tend to see people without legs running by, right?
Yeah, I don't know. How do
spirits without...
Well, I think the idea that with the disembodied legs and the torso with no legs is that the other parts are there. We're just not seeing them somehow. That's the way I read it anyway. I could be wrong. I mean, who knows?
So this is kind of like you remember on Sesame Street, they'd do that black light thing where sometimes they'd have like people dress all in black and then they'd have like hands that like gloves that were fluorescent or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's like that. So like the whole thing's there, but you're only seeing part of it.
I mean, that's the way I read it. I mean, I could be totally wrong, but my idea is that if you had a baseball bat that could hit paranormal things, whatever they are, and you saw these disembodied legs walking by and you took a swing at the torso, you would hit something.
Mm.
You just can't see it. But I could be wrong. I mean, who knows?
You just want a Thor's hammer.
I really do. I do. My buddy showed me these. It's for working out. My buddy Mark showed me, and they're like big, heavy rubber hammers. That you swing around to exercise with. And I had some serious Thor fantasies. I was like, I could do that instead of weights. And I knew that would be your reaction. That's precisely why I haven't ordered one yet, because of that reaction there.
This isn't like the great shake weight debacle.
I mean, you could shake it, I suppose. But it's just a big rubber hammer. It's like a cartoon hammer, basically, the size of these things.
But it's exercise equipment.
Yeah, because it's off balance, I guess. It's kind of the idea of like kettlebells, you know, and you whatever. I'm not a fitness trainer, believe it or not. Before we get to our stories with CJ and Jesse, I want to mention that Department of Truth number 15 has been released. And I did a store variant cover for that for Riverbend Comics. It's technically a Riverbend Comics exclusive. You can get it from Riverbend Comics. They have signed copies. I signed a bunch of them there at Riverbend the other day. I think the signed editions, I think they have two different packages. One comes with a trading card with more Mothman art that I did. And one comes with Monsters Under the Hospital Bed. Or you can just get it unsigned from them. And through a special deal with Riverbend Comics, We also have copies in our Etsy shop, but those will just be signed copies. They won't come with a trading card. If you're wondering where the best place to order from, it's either us or Riverbend. It really doesn't matter. We are great friends with Riverbend, and we're happy whether you get it from them, and we're happy if you get it from us. Either way, however you want to do it. And I added prints of that image, that Mothman image, to our Etsy shop. 9x12 prints, full color. I love these prints that we've been getting done on 140-pound watercolor paper. I'm so happy with them. Super psyched. So happy, in fact, that I did another print. If you remember our Hans Trapp episode right before Christmas, I did an illustration specifically for that episode, and I had the colorist I work with, Jesse Hege, color that, and that is available as a print as well. Super excited about that. I love the way these colored prints look. All of that's new, and it's in our Etsy shop. Shop name, Lost Grave, but if you type in Strange Familiars, our stuff will come up. And Allison, you've been working on the Etsy shop as well.
Yeah, I've decided to just add all the photos that I've had in other places to our store instead of confusing things by having my own store.
Having multiple locations stuff. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's nice, and that way it's kind of all in one location. So you've greatly expanded the antique and vintage photos offering there.
Yeah, and I'm planning on doing a little bit each day. So
if you're looking for antiques photos, and you probably are.
Yeah, I mean, who isn't, right?
Check out our Etsy shop for instant ancestors, quirky old photos, and curiosities of all sorts. We'll be mentioning it again later when we talk about the curiosity of the week. All right, so without further ado, let's start with CJ. Now, she has this really early Bigfoot encounter, which happened when she was so young. She actually said she isn't 100% sure it wasn't some sort of dream, but she had nightmares for years and years about this, a recurring nightmare about this. And then she has this other encounter later on, which was not a dream in no way. She was very much awake, and she saw this creature, and it kind of made her think, I don't think that earlier encounter was a dream at all. I think it was an actual encounter. Really, really interesting. She got a pretty good look at the creature. She describes it for us. And then she goes on to talk about the spirit contact she's had throughout her life. It starts in the same place she saw Bigfoot, though, which is interesting to me. But, are they related? Who knows? But she has these other encounters with these, other things throughout her life. Let's go ahead and hear CJ's stories. Tonight we're talking with CJ, who has some really interesting stories to share with us, including some Bigfoot stuff and some spirit visitations as well. How are you doing tonight, CJ?
I'm doing really well, thank you.
Thanks for coming on Strange Familiars. Well, we got some stuff to cover here. Obviously, I'm going to want to hit the Bigfoot stuff, but we can go chronological order or however you feel it's best to tell the stories.
That's great. Yeah, chronological order starts with Bigfoot. So just to give you a little background, I grew up in a very rural area in the Pacific Northwest, just south of Canada on the Idaho-Montana border. So very mountainous, very cold. And I grew up with wood heat in our house. And so every summer, my dad and all of our family would go cut wood. And I remember one of my earliest memories is in the summertime, sitting in front of him on his motorcycle while he hunted wood. He wanted a specific kind. And so he'd have to go look for it in the summertime or the springtime. And so when summer hit, he could go cut it down and all that. So I remember I was probably 3 or 4 riding in front of him on the motorcycle. And I don't know if this is a dream or if this really happened or if it's a nightmare from what transpired, but I had many nightmares for many years. And my mom would tell me about them as I grew older. So I know that she remembers them as well. But I remember standing on the road, the logging road, and my dad had told me that he was going to go up on the ridge and he saw what looked like a dead tree and he was going to walk up and see what it was. And he told me to stay where I was, and I did. And I was probably just playing with rocks and sticks and stuff on the road. And I heard snapping and popping of wood. And I looked up and stood up thinking I would see him coming down the ridge. But instead of seeing my dad, who was a big man, I saw a very tall creature who, I know later on that what I was looking at was Bigfoot. But at that age, I didn't know what it was. It was just a monster. It was backlit, old growth trees, not a lot of brush. Walking from my field of vision from the left, going downhill to the right, and it turned and it looked at me and stayed at the same pace and just ignored me and kept on its way. And I don't remember my dad coming back. That's the nightmare I had over and over and over again, that same scene replaying. And my mom told me later on when I was older that I would have dreams about a bear that would walk in the woods, and I would end up in her bed a lot. My dad was gone for work a lot, and so I would end up in her bed. And she said the only way she could convince me to stay in my own bed is that if there was a bear in the woods and it wanted to get me, my dad would kill it. He would shoot it, and I would be okay. And so I, trusting my dad at that age, was like, okay, I'll be safe. I was with my dad. He'll kill it if it tries to hurt me. So that was the first experience that I had, one of my earliest memories. And I don't know if it really happened, right, or if it was a bad dream.
But it was this recurring dream you had.
Right. Mm-hmm. For years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And do you ever, I mean, can you recall the dream yourself, or just have your mom telling you about the dream?
I can recall it. If I close my eyes, I can see it. I can see that it's early spring. I can see the light, the early morning light, you know, coming down at an angle through the trees. I remember the fear. I can see it if I close my eyes very, very easily.
Yeah, it's a very specific recurring dream for a kid to have. You know, that doesn't mean it couldn't be a dream, certainly.
But true.
It does seem very specific.
Yeah, and I don't know. And there's no way to know. Well, a couple of years ago, I had an experience with a psychologist. I was in a therapy for something else, and they did I don't know what you would call it. They don't put you in a hypnotic state, but they put you in a relaxed state. Mm-hmm. And I, that memory came up again in my mind, in the, you know, subconsciously, it like floated up to the front. And I thought that it was, you know, not even a big deal and that I'd forgotten it. But, you know, I'm 41 years old now, and it's still there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's very interesting. Now, you said you remembered kind of riding in front of your father on the motorcycle. Do you think that is that part of the dream, or is that an actual memory you have?
That's an actual memory for sure. I mean, it could have been in the dream, but
right.
I remember that motorcycle very well, very well.
Yeah. Well, it's very, very interesting. It's very interesting. And something made a big impact on you, you know, whether it was, maybe you saw a TV show or something, if we're going to be skeptical, but it's very, very interesting. Again, very, very interesting that you would have that very specific dream again and again.
Right. Which leads me to think that it was more than a dream, but I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I would tend to think that as well, but yeah, well, you know, we can't prove it certainly.
Right. It brings up the question though, based on what I'm going to talk about next, people who usually see Bigfoot tend to see him more than once, or she, it, more than once throughout their lifetime, or have multiple experiences. And I don't know if it's paranormal. I don't know what Bigfoot is.
Right.
But it certainly makes me wonder based on the other experiences I've had in my life. So fast forward, my parents, we move out into the middle of nowhere. I'm 12 years old, 13 years old. We're building a house. It's the kind of place where, I mean, people don't live there year round. It's so hard to get in and out of. You have to have snow tires. You have to have chains. You have to have four-wheel drive. You don't want to be stuck out there. Nobody lives out there year round, but my parents decide that they're going to do it. So we're the only people out there. They're building a house. It's summertime. And there's a one-room log cabin that we have, like an A-frame that we're all staying in. No running water. There is electricity. Outhouse, very primitive while we're building the house. My younger brother and I, we had nothing to do. So we would spend all day running on the deer trails and playing hide and seek in the woods and just exploring. And my parents had no idea where we were. They knew we were around. There's not much, you know, trouble you can get into when you just have the great outdoors. But we were playing hide and seek, and we were probably being pretty loud and we'd been playing for hours, and I was going, running downhill on a deer trail, and it was a lot of brush. It was heavily wooded brush, you know, up to probably at 12 years old, probably up to my shoulders, mm-hmm. running downhill towards the lake. And I was watching my feet because there's big boulders in the way, and, you know, it's narrow single track deer trail. I don't want to trip and fall. And all of a sudden, I felt very uncomfortable, even though I had been in the woods for hours alone, hiding, waiting for my brother to find me. It was my turn to hide. So I was running to go find a spot. Gotcha. And all of a sudden, I felt very uncomfortable, and the hair on the back of my neck stood up, and I slowed down, and I was looking around me. This all happened within probably 10 seconds, but it felt like it was very slow. I was very afraid all of a sudden, and I didn't know why I was afraid, but I knew I was afraid. And probably 20 feet in front of me to my right was a great big bull ponderosa pine, huge ponderosa pine. And standing up against the pine, as still as a stone, was a Bigfoot. And going back as an adult to that same spot, going back and measuring about where I thought it was probably close to 9 feet, maybe 10 feet at the most.
Wow.
It was very tall. In the light, it was dusk, so it looked black. I don't know if it really was black, but it looked black. Mm-hmm. I couldn't see eyes very well because it was standing up against the tree, and there was limbs crisscrossing in front of its body from other trees. But we made eye contact. I know I was looking at its face, and I knew it was looking back at me. And I was just standing there in the middle of the trail, and I, you know, get this huge adrenaline rush, and I just knew I had to leave. And it very easily could have killed me. All it would have to do was take two steps, you know, because I, you know, they have huge span, you know, their right. leg span is huge. Right, right. It could have taken two steps and gotten me, but it just stared at me and it didn't even move. It was a male. I could see its penis. I didn't smell anything. I could see skin through its, like where its knees would be. I could see like skin, is grayish skin through the hair, scraggly, like moss hanging. Like it was like coarse hair. It looked really coarse. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was mind speak or just terror. It was just leave now. And you didn't have to tell me twice. I turned to my right, pushing through the brush, because that was the closest point from point A to point B to where my parents' property was. So I just pushed through the brush, and it didn't follow me. It didn't get me. Nothing happened. I made it to my parents' property, and I was huffing and puffing, and I went to go tell my dad, and I didn't do it. I didn't tell my dad until I was about 20 years old, because I didn't want to say it out loud. If I ignored it, if I could talk myself out of it. If I didn't say anything to them, then it didn't really happen. Mm-hmm. I just talked myself out of it. I didn't really see that. I was just scared. It's getting dark. You know, you were alone on the trail. You just got spooked. But even when I go visit my parents, they're still there. When I go visit my parents and I have to walk outside at night, I'm nervous. I'm nervous to walk outside alone. So anyway, that's my other Bigfoot story.
Yeah. Yeah. So you said your father was a big guy, or is
yes.
a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have been, you know, familiar with tall people. So as you see this thing, you recognize as a kid, this is bigger than dad, for instance.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. My dad is 6'5". Mm-hmm. He's a big guy. He's probably, you know, 270 pounds, really big. Mm-hmm. He was bigger than my dad, mm-hmm. way bigger than my dad.
So you could see like skin through the hair. So kind of black hair. Mm-hmm. And then you could see, did you say it was grayish skin?
Yeah, it was kind of grayish skin. I don't know if it was just that's the color it was, or if it was the fading light.
Right.
I could see clearly, but it was just kind of like, At its knees, the hair wasn't as thick. Mm-hmm. It was more sparse, and so I could see the skin. But everywhere else, it was pitch black.
Did you get to see hands or feet or anything?
I didn't look at hands. I didn't even look at the feet. I mm-hmm. kind of, well, I did see feet, but they were under the brush, you know? Right. I mean, but it was like I was looking at my feet running down the trail. And so when I slowed down and I started looking, it's like I kind of looked at its knees and went up from its knees up to where its head was. And I passed, you know, its genitals and all that. And it wasn't even moving, but I could make out those features, but I couldn't make out eyes, even though I knew it was staring at me.
Yeah.
Because I was staring right at it. Like, I just knew we were looking right at each other, but I couldn't, there's no eye shine. There was no light shining on the eyes.
Mm-hmm. So was the whole face kind of in shadow?
Yes. The whole face was in shadow. Yes. And it had limbs from other, like another fir, a fir tree nearby, like crossing in front of its body.
Mm-hmm. This is a kind of an indelicate question, but I know people are going to be curious. You mm-hmm. said you saw the penis. Was it proportional?
Yes, yes. And it wasn't erect. I know some people say, like, when they're upset, they're like...
Yeah, I've heard witnesses.
They're excited or whatever. And it wasn't mm-hmm. like that. It was just standing there. It wasn't even swaying. I've heard other stories about where they're swaying. It wasn't swaying. It was, like, standing, like, completely still. And it was in proportion. It wasn't... I mean, not that I had a vast knowledge
right,
of that yeah, stuff, yeah. But yeah, looking back as an adult, like, it was proportionate for its body for sure.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So did this trigger the return of the nightmares at all?
Or new nightmares? Yes, I was very scared. Mm-hmm. And I'd have nightmares. Yeah. I had nightmares for a while. When our house was built, finished, and we moved in, my room was in the basement, and the basement was unfinished. But they did have drywall up for just that room, but everybody else was on the third floor. So I was very far removed from my family, and it made things worse for me.
Yeah.
Because I was scared, and the window, I mean, it was a walkout basement, and I didn't even have a door on my room yet. Mm-hmm. So it was just, I was always afraid that, right, you know, right out, looking right out through my door, I could see the bay windows from the basement. And there was also a big picture window in my bedroom. And I was constantly just so terrified that whatever that was looking at me while I was in my room.
Yeah. So that leads me to my next question. Was there any strangeness around that property when you were growing up, either, you know, at that time or other times?
No other times. I've never seen any lights. I haven't seen any other strangeness, but I did have I've had a lot of paranormal experiences with spirits, and I'm not sure what Bigfoot is. I don't know. I swing back and forth on the pendulum that, you know, it's an alien. There's no way it could have all these properties, you know, all these,
right. Sure. Yeah.
You know, and then I don't really believe in aliens. So, you know, I don't know. I just have this pendulum swing constantly. Like, I don't know what it is, but I just know it's high strangeness, right? Mm-hmm. It's very strange.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to fit any one mold.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel very similarly about it. So did the spirit stuff start happening in the same house?
Yes. So same age. 12 or 13, I'm not sure. Our house was built by then, so probably 13. I woke in the middle of the night, 3 a.m. Seems like the magic witching hour. Mm-hmm. From a dead sleep, wide awake and fearful, knowing that there was somebody in my room. And it was, I don't know if you have a dog or a cat, but it's like when your dog or cat walks through your room, you can hear them walking on the carpet.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I could hear that in my room. Mm. And then somebody said my name, and I was frozen in fear. I was afraid to move because in my mind, I thought, if it knows I'm awake, it will get me. So I laid perfectly still and prayed over and over and over again. God, make it leave. Please make it leave. And it didn't bother me. I felt something sit on the end of my bed.
Ooh.
But it didn't talk to me again, and it did not touch me. And then at 5 a.m., I laid there stiff as a board, until 5 a.m. And I heard my mom get up and start a fire. The fireplace is right above my bedroom. In the Pacific Northwest, at 5 a.m. in the winter, it's pitch black outside. Mm-hmm. So I was brave enough to run upstairs and I told my mom what had happened. And she told me something very interesting. She said, she asked me if I talked back to it. And I said, no. And she said, that's good. We shouldn't talk back to them. And she told me that she had had an experience a lot like mine. And so had my two elder sisters.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And so she's like, I don't know what it means. She talked to me because I grew up in a very religious family, and she's was saying like, did you invite something in? And I said, I don't know even how you would invite it. And she's like, well, playing with Ouija boards. Or I'm like, I didn't even know what that was.
Right.
You know, but she was trying to talk to me about, okay, so if you haven't invited it in, it probably was benign, but it did know my name. And so she said, maybe it was a family member. So I don't know. So, but I was afraid to sleep in the basement. And for a year, I slept on the couch upstairs, where if something happened, I could call out and my parents would be there. Because mm-hmm. when I was in the basement, if I yelled, there's no way they would hear me.
Yeah. Yeah. And that just happened the one time.
Yeah, in my adolescence. And I don't know if I've read stories or heard stories about, you know, prepubescent children having experiences. And some psychologists think it's all like hormonal and that somehow we can command elements
right.
I can't explain it. I don't think that was the case. I don't think that's the case at all, but the veil has always been very thin for me. I've seen my grandmother, who has passed, a couple times. She's spoken to me a couple times.
Wow.
So I don't, and my little brother is the same. He's seen her a couple times as well. So I don't know if it just runs in the family, because my dad has also said, he gets up at like 4 a.m. He gets up really early. And I came down for breakfast. I was in college and I came down for breakfast and I was talking to my dad. And he said, my mom came and saw me, visited me today. And I said, she did? And he said, yeah, I was reading the newspaper and I felt like she was there. And I looked up and out of the corner of my eye, I saw my mother, and then she fluttered away. And I just had this feeling like she just came to check on us and see if we were okay. So I don't know if it just runs in the family or what, but I've had multiple experiences, especially in my later years.
Is that next in order?
Yes. I've seen spirits, I guess you could say, off and on, out of the corner of my eye. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, if I look at them, I can't see them. But if I just hold still, I can see them on periphery moving.
It's very interesting. I don't know if you've heard me describe the lights we see at Site 7, for instance. That's how you pick them up at first, from the peripheral. Mm-hmm. Now, we once you get them that way, you can focus on, you know, with the regular eyesight. But it's through the periphery that you'll pick them up at first. Someone told me that it's because at night, our peripheral vision is actually better. So, but I don't know if that figures into spirits as well. You know what I mean? But it's very interesting that there's that correlation there. Because that's how...
It is interesting.
Yeah, that's how you see those lights. I mean, that's the way you'll pick them up at first. Then you can focus in on them.
My opinion on that, if you care to hear it,
sure.
It's religious. I'm a religious person, so it's kind of through the lens of Christianity. Mm-hmm. But I've kind of always thought that because we only use a small percentage of our brain, that is the veil that is placed over our minds. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at something directly, it's like our human body takes over and focuses on, you know, incorrectly on finite things, right?
Yeah.
But when we're not focused on a spirit or the spirit world, we can see it out of our periphery because we're not focusing with our imperfect body. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're sensing it more with our spirituality or the I don't know if that's making any sense.
No,
to you,
it does. But... It's almost, I mean, it's not exactly, but it's almost like the left brain, right brain kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I just kind of been of the opinion, and it's not of course, like church doctrine or anything like that.
Right, right.
I've just always kind of explained it that way. So if I'm looking right at them, it's like my brain takes over and the veil is thick and I cannot see them.
Yeah, the logical brain says no.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I'm not focused on it, I can see all of these other things where my brain is not filtering them out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, basically answer who knows, but it's certainly,
right.
You know, it's as good a theory as any. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's just how who knows? Yeah, you're right. Who knows?
Puppies can be wild and crazy whirlwinds of destruction. They're also super cute. But you probably don't want them destroying your house.
I don't think anyone chooses that, no.
No matter how cute they are. Let's say you get Department of Truth number 15, brand new, signed by the artist, and the puppy tears it apart. That's no good. You don't want that.
No. Destruction of personal property is one of the top 5 reasons not to get a puppy, I think.
But I know somebody that can help you with that. Whatever your puppy's doing, whatever problems they're having, whether it's mouthing and biting issues, potty training, fear and nervousness, barking, chewing on furniture, shoes, or comic books they shouldn't be chewing on, crate training, hyperactivity issues, leash training, and more, 90 days to the perfect puppy can help you and your puppy become perfect for each other. They have a relationship-based approach to training, online sources like video lessons, a secret Facebook group, and one-on-one options are available. You can find them at sithappens.us. Look for the 90 days to the perfect puppy link at the top of the page. They can help you understand how your dog thinks and apply proactive training methods so you and your puppy can become perfect for each other. Again, that's 90 days to the perfect puppy. You can find them at sithappens.us.
Fast forward to nothing really significant happened. You know, I see shadows out of the corner of my eye, not really scary. Fast forward, I get married to a military man. I'm pregnant with our second child. He's deployed and I am alone in labor at my house. And I'd been in labor for a week. It was, you know, it was terrible. I would start at like 4 p.m. and it would go to like 3 or 4 a.m. and it would stop. And I wasn't making progress because the baby's head was not like down. Mm-hmm. My body was trying to go into labor, but my cervix was not dilating because there was no pressure.
Right.
So finally, after like 4 days of that, I was so exhausted. And I was sitting on like a exercise ball. Mm-hmm. And I was laying my head against the side of my couch and I was talking in my mind to my grandmother, thinking about my grandmother, who is this wonderful, hardworking woman who grew up on a farm in the Tetons in a little shack with no heat, no running water. I mean, my dad didn't even have plumbing until he was 14 years old. Hmm. Amazing woman who had 7 children in this little farmhouse. And I was thinking in my mind, talking to her, how did you do it? I can't do it. It's too hard. I can't do it. I'm so tired. And suddenly she was there and I could see her out of my peripheral vision, like we just spoke about. Mm-hmm. But more than that, she was speaking to me in my mind and she was telling me what to do. So she told me that I needed to go get in the shower. And she told me, you need to run it as hot as you can stand. And you need to stand in the shower and turn it off when your contraction stops and then turn it back on. And so I would do that. And it helped a lot. And it got to the point later on when it didn't help anymore, when the labor had progressed and it was really bad. I was crying and I told her, I can't do it. It hurts too much. And she said, you need to call your mother-in-law. It's time for you to go to the hospital. And I was crying and I said out loud, okay, grandma, you know, I called my mother-in-law and she came and got me and she was saying, why didn't you call me earlier? I would have been with you. But it was just, I'd been through it for 4 days and I just assumed it was going to go away again. So,
right.
So that was a really good experience that I had.
Yeah. And everything turned out great yeah. for the kids and all.
Yeah, everything turned out great. Yeah, it turned out great.
Good. Wow, that is... So, yeah, obviously I've never experienced labor, but...
It's not fun.
Yeah.
It's called labor for a reason.
Yeah, that's something. So, well, your mother-in-law was nearby-ish, but mm-hmm. You're essentially going through this alone. How young was your other child at that
time? He was 18, or yeah, 17 months old.
Okay, yeah, so, wow. That's going through it.
Yeah, it was not fun, but it was a really good experience I had. And I'm really grateful for my grandma. She's been around me a lot.
So you could see her physically through the, peripherally.
Yes, I could feel like somebody was there. I couldn't see her features. It was just like a shadow.
Okay.
It wasn't like she wasn't manifested as herself.
And could you hear her speak audibly?
It was just her voice in my mind.
Okay. Okay.
She didn't speak out loud, auditorily. Mm. It was just right in my head.
But what she was telling you to do, for instance, to get in the shower, it's not like a doctor had told you that or anything. This came from essentially her, from this.
Right, right. Yeah. I hadn't thought of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really helpful. And she stayed with me the whole time, which was really comforting.
Yeah. Hard thing to go through, but a kind of a nice story to go with it.
Yeah, it's a really good experience. I wrote it down in my son's baby book.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I hope he, I didn't want it to just go away. I wanted it to be remembered. So
yeah.
I've had some experiences with some not so great spirits. I say that just because of the feelings they bring with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A couple of years later, and this is really personal, but my husband has struggled with a pornography addiction, turned to a sexual addiction for a couple of years, and it's made our marriage difficult. We've made it through. We're in a good space now, but for a time, he was really struggling. And I would wake up 3 a.m. routinely to people in our bedroom, blacker than black, sometimes more than one. Sometimes they were standing on my side of the bed, and sometimes they were standing on his side of the bed. Sometimes I would wake up to voices, but most of the time I would just wake up wide awake, and it always happened around 3 a.m., and I would see people. And it got to the point where I grew angry, and I would sit up to yell at them and say, get out of my house, and I said some bad language, but I was like, get out of my house, leave us alone. And it would, I'd wake up my husband and it scares him because he's never had experiences where he's seen anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they wouldn't leave him alone. They would not leave him alone. One night, so on my side of the bed, I slept on the left side of the bed, and right to my left is the bathroom door. And then a little, like 4 feet down from on the wall is the closet. We had a walk-in closet. It didn't have a door on it. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and there was a man standing in the closet door, like right in the threshold of the closet door. And I could see him very well because my son had left the iPad on the closet floor. And I had got a notification or something, and it blinked on.
Oh.
And then it blinked back off.
How weird.
And when it blinked on, I could see the man standing there. And I thought it was my husband. And I sat up in bed and I was talking to him. I can't remember what I was saying, but it was like, probably, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was asking him questions. I'm like, did you hear me? And he didn't respond. It was just standing there staring at the bed. And I look over and my husband is asleep beside me, and it scared me. That's the first time it's really, really scared me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't just a dark shape. It was a person. Like, it looked like my husband.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time that's ever happened. But multiple nights in a row, for weeks and weeks and weeks, my husband, he was battling his addiction. He was trying so hard. He was going through therapy. We were talking, with our clergy, trying to get help for him. He wanted help. He wanted to get rid of all of those terrible images and thoughts in his mind. And a couple times I would wake up and I would see people black shapes leaning over him asleep while he was asleep and talking to him, whispering like that. At first it sounded just like bees, you know, I couldn't really hear what they were saying. But then as it kept going on, I was able to understand what they were saying. They were telling him that he should kill himself.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
And that he was worthless and that he did not deserve me and that I would be better off if he was dead and that children would be better off if he was dead. And I would wake him up and I would tell them to get the out of my house. And I'd wake him up and he wasn't having nightmares or anything like that. He didn't even know it was happening. He didn't even know what was happening. And then fast forward a month or two later, we'd had our third child. And I walked upstairs and he was in the nursery and he was holding our son, who was only a couple weeks old, and he was sobbing. And I said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "I love my family. I don't want to die." And then it hit me like, oh my gosh, these entities, they're pouring poison in his ears, and it hasn't been falling on deaf ears. It's been subliminally absorbed, and he's been having suicidal ideation.
Right, right.
And that's not the first time he told me. And then he confessed to me that multiple times he'll be driving down the road and a thought will come in his mind that he should just drive off the road and kill, you know, like he should just drive off the bridge or drive into a tree. Because if you look at it through a Christian lens, which I do, Satan doesn't want us to have a happy marriage. He doesn't want my husband to be healed. He doesn't want him to be whole and happy. So he's going to do whatever he can to disrupt our family and disrupt our lives and make him unhappy. Mm-hmm. So now, from now, ever since that happened, I think whenever I'm having bad thoughts about myself or about somebody else or whatever it is, I stop and I think, well, who is pouring poison in my ear? Like, who is telling me these things?
Right.
Because they are real and I've seen it and I've heard it. And so I know it happens. I just think that there's angels all around us. There's Satan's angels. They're very invested in causing turmoil. And then there's good angels, you know? And so I just think we're surrounded all the time. I think the veil is keeping us from seeing them, but they're around us constantly, all the time.
No, I know some listeners are going to agree with you. Some are going to disagree. And
that's fine.
You're mistaken. Exactly. It's absolutely fine. But when I talk to people, I allow them to interpret their own experiences. So I'm interested in your interpretation of it, because we can always say, oh, it was this, it was that, play that game, where in the end, no one can really prove too much of anything, but they're your experiences. I'm interested in your take on them. So given that, and given what you mentioned earlier about your experience when you were younger and your mother said, you know, did you invite this in? Is it your understanding that these sort of, we'll just call them negative entities, were invited in by your husband's activities and proclivities?
Well, my opinion is, and it's just my opinion because I don't know.
Right.
But
right.
My opinion is that people who have passed on, who have had similar issues, want to hang around people who have those issues.
Okay.
That's my opinion. I don't know if it's true, mm-hmm. but if you have an alcohol problem and you die and you can't drink alcohol anymore, but you want to so badly, you still have the same urge, you're probably going to hang around people who are alcoholics. I don't know.
Right, right, sure. Yeah.
I have no idea. But my husband, who had all these bad experiences growing up, which led him into this addiction, mm-hmm. had a lot of hurdles to jump over and a lot of images to get out of his mind. I don't know if it's because those entities that I saw and heard were once living people, or if they were, I don't know what they were, Tim. I just, I'm just trying to make sense of it, you know?
Sure. And like, yeah. And there's, like I said, this is, we're in no right or wrong answer territory. I'm interested in your perception, you know?
It very well could be because he invited them in through his activity into our home. Mm-hmm. Or it could just be that.
And by the way, by that, I'm not blaming him. You know what I mean?
Right. I didn't take it that way. I didn't take it that way. And I don't blame him either. I'm grateful that he has worked so hard to overcome his past. Mm-hmm. So I'm really proud of him. But I don't, to answer your question, I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
It's hard to say. I mean, I can't say.
And, you know, as you're sitting here, you know, telling me the story, I'm wondering, do we all have these shadows and just some of us never get to see them, you know, whispering these bad things, you know, here and there. It's a frightening concept, you know.
It is frightening. But not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, in our new house, we've moved since, we've left that older home. And that's, you know, that brings up another point because we were the fifth owners of that last house. So who knows what people did in that house mm-hmm. before we got there. Mm-hmm. So who knows, but we've since moved and things are a lot better. But the other day I saw somebody in my house and it was a completely different experience. It was like a bright light. And that was the first time I'd actually seen like features of a face. There was blue eyes and blonde hair and bright light around it. And then it was gone like within a second. And it was really interesting. I didn't know who they were.
Right. Right.
I'd never seen that person before in my life. Mm-hmm.
The figure you saw on the doorway of your closet, it looked like just a human standing there.
Oh, for sure. Like blood, flesh and blood, for sure. 100%.
Yeah, that's, I mean, obviously more, you know, real, quote unquote, than a shadow person. That would be more frightening, I think.
Mm-hmm. Especially since I was speaking to it. You know, I was like, I thought it was my husband. So that scared me more than anything.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember at all how it was dressed?
I don't remember. It was lit from the iPad shining up. So mm-hmm. it's like, I could see its nose and I could see like the dark spaces where its eyes were. I don't remember what it was wearing. It was wearing clothes.
I have to ask in case there was a flannel shirt involved, you know?
No, I don't know. No flannel shirt.
So growing up or at any time in your life, did you have sleep paralysis?
I have once.
Just once?
Once we were driving in a van. We were on a vacation and my neck was, you know, I was asleep in a car or, you know, a nice seat. So my neck was like tilted to the side and I was woke up and I was conscious, but I couldn't move my body. And it took probably... It felt like forever, but it probably only took like a minute for me to jerk out of it. But I was doing everything that I could to, I remember telling myself, okay, 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, go.
Right.
I get myself to jerk out of my paralysis. And I did eventually, but we were just driving down the road.
So
I think we're in Canada, actually.
There were no entities or anything associated with
none, that. None that I saw, no.
And about how old were you?
Oh, probably 10.
Oh, interesting. So if you were given the chance and you were guaranteed it was going to be a perfectly safe encounter and, you know, it wasn't going to run at you charging or screaming or anything, would you opt to see Bigfoot again?
I think I would. I think I would enjoy seeing it again, but like you say, from far away or
right.
guaranteed to be safe. I do not like the feeling that I had predatory feeling. Like mm-hmm. I did not like feeling like prey.
Sure.
So, and I don't want to relive that, but I'm curious. I want to see one again.
You know, I keep saying I've seen flashes of things and I think I've never had that. Definitely. That's it. You know, I saw it 100%. I keep saying I want that, but I want it to be that very calm, you know, safe sighting.
Right. But it don't ever happen that way.
So I guess, in your life, you are going to be one of these people that sees things for better and for worse. I hope going forward, it's all for the better. I hope the negativity is behind you and your family. And just going forward, I hope it's all positive stuff. I hope it's all just grandma being nice.
Me too. Thank you. I really do. You know, I think it's kind of interesting someone like me who has seen spirits, entities, whatever you want to call them, and then I've seen Bigfoot possibly twice, I don't know. It just makes me wonder, is it a spiritual entity? Is it a real living, breathing animal? Mm-hmm. It just makes me wonder. I just have a lot of question marks.
It's hard for me not to connect them.
Mm-hmm.
And, I know, I'm a big fan of Sasquatch Chronicles. I love the
me
show.
Me too.
And I love Wes. But he's confided to me more than once that often he gets guests who tell him Bigfoot stories and then tell him other stories as well. But mm-hmm. his podcast is about Bigfoot, so.
Right.
So we hear the Bigfoot story. So I don't think it's as uncommon as people might think for people to have these layered experiences where they, they see Bigfoot here and then, later on they have a ghost experience or whatever it may be. So for me, it's so difficult to not see that they're related somehow, but I cannot tell you how they're related. Like I don't have that, the rule book or anything, but they just feel somehow like related to me.
Oh, for sure. Me too. I wonder if it's people who are like, I don't think that I'm clairvoyant or psychic or anything like that, but I know that I am an empath and I know that I have seen things. So I connect the two, and I don't know if it's just people like me or if it's anybody.
I'm very careful, and I'm sure you've heard me say before, I don't think anyone has superpowers.
Right.
I think some people, I could always draw. I could draw. Like, it's just something, a talent I had, maybe as a gift. And music wasn't the same for me. Music was something I had to practice and still struggle with. It just didn't come to me the way that drawing did. And I think maybe it might be a little bit like that. I think it's available to everybody, but for some people, it's just kind of there. And for other people, maybe, you have to kind of push it a little bit and work at it and put yourself in these haunted places and stuff before something will ever happen.
Right. Yeah, I like that explanation. Yeah, I like that.
And again, I don't know. Who the heck knows? CJ, thank you so much for sharing your stories.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you ready for some legs? And nothing else. All right, we're going to hear Jesse's story. Another one of these disembodied leg stories. I guess we're going to keep getting them. We're happy to get them.
When you run into them.
Ah, nice. Let's go ahead and hear about them.
Okay, tonight we're talking with Jesse, who has a pretty strange thing she wants to share with us. You saw something walk across, was it your grandparents' lawn?
Yeah, some disembodied pants.
Now, when you say pants, do you
mean... Yeah, like legs.
Yeah, so they had, presumably they had legs in them?
I would assume so. I mean, it was, a pair of legs in pants walking across the yard.
Wow. So as much as you're comfortable, what year and where did this happen?
Sure. So I live in the DC metro area now, but I grew up in southwestern Virginia in the Appalachian Mountains. And this would have been about 30 years ago. I spent a lot of my life living with my grandparents, who I call Mima and Poppy. So if I refer to them, that's who I mean.
Okay.
In a holler in southwestern Virginia. And this had to have been about 28 to 30 years ago. I'm not quite sure on the exact year. And I was probably about 7 or 8, something like that. I had asked my mom about when it would have been specifically, because I knew it was either Thanksgiving or Christmas. And she said it would have been Christmas, given the details. So it was on Christmas about 30 years ago, 28, 30 years ago, because my uncles were home visiting. So that's the reason I know it was around that time.
Gotcha.
Because my uncles and their families was home at me and my poppy's, I had to give up my bedroom, you know, so that I could stay in there. And my grandparents, my mama had put me to bed in her room for like early, because the grown folks was going to stay up and play Rook and, you know, be grown folks.
Right. Yeah.
Their bedroom was on the front of the house. And I remember that year my dad had said he might also come for Christmas. And so I was real excited. I kept thinking maybe he would show up. And I hadn't been in the bedroom in their bed long. And the floodlight turned on the front of the house. And the dogs started barking. So I stood up on the edge of the bed and looked out the window. And I saw it was a pair of pants walking across the yard. It, you know, legs. It looked like colored jeans walking from down at the gravel where we parked at up towards the house. And I knew I wasn't crazy because the dogs were coming up alongside it and barking at it, and the dogs was reacting to it.
How close did the dogs get to it?
Pretty close. I mean, it was close enough in the floodlight that I could see the dogs flanking it. I remember I wasn't scared by it or anything, but I was just really confused by it.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so.
And so I ran out of the bedroom into the living room where all the grown folks was at, and I was trying to tell them about it, and they thought I was lying. And so I got a whooping for telling tales.
Oh.
And got sent back to bed. And so, you know, growing up, I'm almost 40 now, I never really told anybody about it. And it seems like such an absurd story. It's absurd, you know, like what even is that?
Mm-hmm.
That I never really thought to tell anybody about it. I just chalked it up to just one of them weird things. I mean, especially if you're from the Appalachian Mountains, I mean, weird stuff happens all the time. And, you know, that's just how it is. And then I remember, you know, that show, the Fact or Fate show where they try to recreate paranormal stuff.
There's so many paranormal shows, they all blend together for me.
Yeah, this one was probably like 6 or 7 years ago. And they showed this clip of that Fresno Nightcrawler.
Right, yeah, I was going to ask you if that reminded you of what you saw.
And I remember when I saw that, it like really shook me, because it looked so much, not exactly the same, but I feel like in the mind of like a 7-year-old, the way you might explain something like that would be like a walking pair of pants.
True. You know? Yeah, true.
And I just really was floored, and I felt like really vindicated, you know, because I wasn't crazy, and somebody else had not only seen something like this, but supposedly caught something like this on camera. And then, you know, I know you like your podcast. I like this kind of, you know, content. And so a couple months ago, I had been listening to a couple episodes, and other people were talking about seeing these disembodied legs or pants or however you want to call it in different settings. And that made me feel vindicated even further.
Yeah, we've had probably 4 of them now, including yours.
Yeah. And, you know, I consider myself a rational person. I have multiple science degrees. You know, I work professionally as a science specialist. I don't discount the experiences people have, but I'm not willing to accept every single experience. But I know what I saw, and I don't have any explanation for it. Now, I will tack one thing onto it that I remember in the same time frame, around the same time. So if you're looking out the front of the house, so we had tater fields.
Okay.
And it was 23 acres of tater fields and pine trees, and like planted pine trees, not just wild ones.
Gotcha.
And if you were looking out the front of our house, there was this, we had this huge, huge, huge black pine on the right. And our lower tater field was kind of behind that pine, like the pine hid it, kind of. And I remember around this same time frame, just, again, something I can't really explain, seeing this blinding large flash of light that, like, lit up the whole holler that somehow originated from some point behind that pine tree in what seemed to be in that lower tater field. And I note this because it was also something weird that happened in the same time frame, but that would have also been, that's the same direction that that disembodied legs or pants or whatever would have been walking from.
That's interesting, yeah.
Like almost directly on a diagonal from that point.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have been the same night, but I do remember it being in the very, in a very close time frame that that happened. And, you know, we all have weird experiences. My family has tons of weird experiences that they've told me. I particularly haven't really had a lot of experiences that I've considered unusual enough to hold them in my memory. But those two, especially the pants or whatever, that's all I know how to call it, has always just really stayed with me my whole life.
Yeah, they're so strange. And, you know, when we started getting multiple people reporting them, I just, they're so interesting, but they're one of those where you just, where do we put this? You know, where do we put this? You know, it's so strange. But once, you know, multiple people start saying they saw it, and I didn't take the report, but I've come across reports of people seeing, you know, half a Bigfoot, you know, just the legs.
Right.
Walking as well. So, yeah, it's so weird. It's so weird. And, you know, as far as you can recall, it looked like normal pants.
Yeah, it looked like a normal pair of human legs. Mm-hmm. As real as you or I. It wasn't translucent or nothing. It was just a pair, I would assume a pair of legs in a pair of pants with no upper body. Now, mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't remember if there was any feet attached or not.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, just as real as if you were walking across the front yard, but the upper half of your body was missing.
And do you remember, you know, these are a lot of details for as young as you were, but do you remember if it just kind of ended at the waistband or did it fade off?
I don't remember. Yeah. My sense is that it just ended. But, you know, all I remember is seeing it long enough to be really confused and, like, I didn't, like, rub my eyes like a cartoon or something, but,
right.
You know, being really confused and kind of, like, looking closer and just being like, what is this? Is this some trick of the light? But it's something I knew. It was something that was there because the dogs was reacting to it.
Right, yeah.
And before it could even get up close, all the way up to when I got down and I took off into the living room, it, as far as I knew, it was still walking across the yard. I didn't sit there and watch for it to get out of my field of view. I took off to go in and tell them to get them to go out and look and see after what it was. So, you know, I don't know if it just disappeared or, you know, I don't know what happened with it. But all I know is I looked at it long enough to not know what the hell it was, to know that it was something because the dogs was reacting, and to get down and go into the living room to get one of my uncles to go out and see if they could catch whatever it was and figure out what it was.
And they didn't even look.
No, they just thought I was telling tales.
Mm-hmm. Ah. Well, you know, it would have come up and knocked on the door, but no hands.
Right. I don't know.
Yeah, no.
You know, I don't know. I always carried that with me and just wrote it off. And after having that reaction where I went, and I wasn't a child that just told stories. I did not have a great imagination. I'm not one for fanciful thought, even as a child. And so to have that kind of, you know, well, you're making this up as a ploy to get out of bed, so you're going to get a whooping and sent back to bed. I thought, you know, in my child's mind, you take that experience and with that kind of reaction and you just chalk it up to, well, this is the kind of reaction you're always going to get. So right. I'm just going to file that away in my mind.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then, so I think I probably was probably maybe 32, 33, 34. I don't know, something around that when I saw that first saw that Fresno Nightcrawler, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks that it was so similar.
Yeah, I've often thought about those, and I don't know if it until you brought it up that I actually connected them with the disembodied legs, but it's certainly something in common there.
I don't know. You know, I just don't have any, I don't have any understanding of what it is. And I can't even say that we I don't think we had any kind of like hauntings or, you know, I mean, I'm not one to say never, but I spent all of my childhood up in and out by myself around in woods all times of the day, all times of the night, all over that property. I know that property like the back of my hand. I never had any kind of weird experiences like that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know.
When you came back to the bedroom after you got sent back, did you peek outside again?
Oh, I don't remember. I just remember that first part. I don't remember anything after it. Well. So.
Probably where they'd, you know, wherever they were walking to, they'd well walked away by then. But
I figure they made it to their destination.
Well, it's very strange and very interesting, and we'll just go ahead and add it to the list of disembodied leg stories. So thank you for sharing, Jesse.
Sure, no problem. You know, I've got other stories. If you ever want to talk to me again, they're not mine, but they're my grandparents' stories. Pretty weird. So
I'd love to get them. We'll have to schedule that.
Sure. All right, you take care.
You as well.
It's been a while since we've done some owls.
Yeah, it's true.
These are long-eared owls. And it has a male and a female. It's actually got three owls on here, but... Or is that that's four. I guess there's one in the background flying.
Oh, yeah, they're nice.
There's four long-eared owls. It's a stereo view. We've had other owl stereo views before, and they've been pretty popular.
These guys are super cute.
So when I dug this one out of our secret stash of endless ephemera, I thought, what a good curiosity of the week. More owls. So appropriate to Strange Familiars. Certainly we get a lot of owl stories, and we hear a lot of owl calls when we're out on investigations. And Mike Clellan has that wonderful book, The Messengers, about owls. I really should have Mike on. I don't know why at this point in the show I haven't had Mike on.
Every time we've seen an owl in the last 5 years, we've thought of him.
But this is a stereo view. I'm going to guess this is from, I don't know, the 1800s. I don't think there's a date on it.
Yeah, there's a copyright of like 1870 or something, but it's post-1870 then, I guess is fair to say.
Oh, okay. So we'll say 1870s probably.
Mm-hmm.
Stereo view photograph, tinted. Of owls. And there will be a image of this in the show notes. If you click on that, it'll take you right to our Etsy shop where you can purchase this and other curiosities of the week and photos that Allison has started adding and the new prints and everything else at our Etsy shop, including Strange Familiars t-shirts and more. Speaking of Strange Familiars t-shirts, the long sleeve shirt is coming. We're still kind of working out the artwork and how it's going to be printed and so forth. It's a long sleeve shirt with a print on the front and the back and on each sleeve. So stay tuned. We'll announce it in plenty of time to pre-order it. We'll make a certain amount beyond the pre-order, but if you really want to make sure you get one in your size, you probably want to pre-order these. We'll announce it in plenty of time. We'll let everybody know. It's a Strange Familiars tour shirt. It says Strange Familiars High Strangeness Tour on the back. And it's got the locations of a lot of the places we've been on on-site episodes. So it's got like Hex Hollow and Harry Springs and Pandemonium and Gazoo's Woods all on the back. It's a lot of fun. I did new artwork for it. It's a Bigfoot in a graveyard on the back. And the front has an owl image. And then it says Strange Familiars on one sleeve. And the other sleeve has the quote that opens the show. From Philip Smith that people often ask, what is he saying? Well, you'll have it on your sleeve. So I'm super excited about it. I can't wait for these to be ready.
I wonder if Philip Smith wouldn't have had any inkling that how popular he would have been with us.
Well, you know, I think about this sometimes. I think about that idea of the second death. You know, they say you die once and then you die again when the last person who remembers you dies and you're forgotten. I think a lot of these people were keeping their stories alive.
That's well, they've been resurrected. Like, so perhaps you've been dead for 40 years and then someone resurrects you.
Yeah, I mean, like these
like
hermits.
Like second death, you know.
Yeah, like some of these hermits, who said their name? You know, in 100 years, some of these guys, you know. It's a pretty interesting concept. I do it with respect. I hope it's viewed respectfully, you know. So, long sleeve, Strange Familiars, High Strangeness tour shirts coming. And mugs, Strange Familiars coffee mugs. I did a limited run of those. They will be available sometime soon too, probably in a month or so. They're actually in production right now. Those will be up on Etsy as soon as we get them. I will announce it on the show. We did a few. When they sell out, we'll probably do a different design. But the first mug is the Awoken Tree logo in blue on a black mug. So look forward to those. While you're on Etsy, you can check out Chad's shop, Ruck Rabbit Outdoors. He's adding more stuff every day, lots of woodsman-y supplies and so forth. And our friends at Karmic Garden have soaps and scented candles and all that awesome stuff, including Strange Familiars and Flannel Man scents. Upcoming for patrons, we will have our revisit to Kador State Park. Like I said, things got pretty
woo
when we went back. Chad and I will be talking about that. That'll be the first patron episode for January. It's coming up sometime soon, maybe this week, maybe next, depending on when I get it finished. If you like the content we do and you want to help support Strange Familiars and get those extra patron episodes, you can become a patron at Patreon, patreon.com/strangefamiliars. There's all different tiers of support there, but no matter which tier you go in at, you get the extra content in the form of 2 full extra episodes of Strange Familiars every month. Patreon.com/strangefamiliars. It's a great way to help the show and get extra content besides. We have over 80 patron shows right now, and we're adding more every month. Patreon.com/strangefamiliars. Anything to add, Allison?
I was just thinking about my tour shirt and how it would be like the couch and the chair next to the heater.
No scary places. Nothing haunted.
And then antique stores, probably.
Yes. What would the image be? Oh, it would be Rachel Bond, probably, right?
Yeah.
If you don't know who that is, we will do an episode on her upcoming. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. Stay warm, stay healthy, and we will be back soon with more Strange Familiars. Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Holler Arts, music, books, art, podcasts, and more. Intro and background music is by Stone Breath. You can hear more or purchase music by Stone Breath at stonebreath.bandcamp.com, where you can also purchase The Witch Cloud, Strange Familiars episode 300. It's a multimedia project. It's an illustrated book. It's a podcast. It's an audiobook. It's more. Strange Familiars is on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars, where you can join the Strange Familiars gathering group. We are on Instagram, @strangefamiliars, one word. And you can find us on the web where, Allison?
That's a trick question. We're not on the web.
We're not. You can't find us on the web. Strangefamiliars.com. Praise. And every
nothing turns as corpse candles burn. Let them all be raised, let them all be raised. Spirit touches living hand, living touches the undead. Place the silver in the ground where the stones have bled. Where the stones have bled.